continuing our discussions of Camp Keli related topics. I think not just Camp Keli related topics, but any camp. Many people, you'll notice in camp, will walk around with water bottles all day long. Now, why are they walking around with water bottles all day long? Are they thirsty all day long? So I don't think people are actually thirsty all day long, but they know that it's healthy to drink water, especially when you're out in the sun a lot and you're going to be in a situation where you could easily get dehydrated. So you want to keep yourself well hydrated. So you drink water all day long. Many other people will walk around with water bottles and will be drinking all day because it helps with their digestion, it helps them lose weight because they're not going to be as hungry, they're not going to eat as much, all sorts of reasons. Sometimes you take a drink of water just not because you're thirsty, but because you want to swallow a pill, and it goes down easier with water. And the shaila in all of these cases is, do you recite a bracha on the water in these cases? Right, when you're drinking water, I'll give you another example. About a year ago, last summer, I had to go through some medical tests for something. They wanted to test how well my kidneys were functioning. So in order to test kidney function, what do they have to do? They have to get the kidney very active. So what do? You drink a lot of water, because they have to see that the kidney is, filtering out all the bad stuff, and, so they don't just do a urine test, they have to get a picture of the size of the kidney or whatever. So I go to this place, and they tell me, here, drink this water, like a big thing of water. I'm like, I'm not thirsty. So they said, no, it's not, I'm not like offering you to drink water. Like, you got to drink the water because we need to put you in this machine, and then we have to see how big how big my kidneys were. I don't remember what the test was for. So I had a shaila. Do you say a bracha on such water, right? Or I'll give you another example. I think I may have told you this story. It happened recently. There's a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Rabbi Reuven Mendelwitz. Rabbi Mendelwitz wrote the Sefer, if you've ever seen it, Inside Stam. You ever see the Sefer Inside Stam? You should all buy it. You should have it on your bookshelves. It is a guide to understanding basic rules of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Meaning, if you want to get your tefillin checked, so how do I know, first of all, which sofer is reliable? And if the sofer says to me, oh, your tefillin are okay, you should just realize they're ksav ari, not ksav beis Yosef. I don't know what that means, right? So, like, he has, like, all the basic information you need to know, and, like, the kinds of phrases that will be used to explain things. He has it all just explained in very clear English, very, very well done. If you ever have to buy a mezuzah, God willing, one day you'll get married, you'll have to buy a bunch of mezuzahs, so, unless, like, you live in a cardboard box or something, right? So you have to buy mezuzahs. So you have to, so how do most people buy mezuzahs? They go to the store and they say, I'd like to buy a mezuzah. What do you got? And the store says, oh, well, we have the $40 ones, the $50 ones, and the $60 ones. And you're like, oh, I'm about an average Jew. I'll go 50. And you have no idea if your mezuzah is kosher, you have no idea if it's a Sephardi mezuzah or an Ashkenazi mezuzah. They don't know anything in the Judaica store. How would they know? It's just the person selling mezuzahs there. So a buyer's guide into what you need to know. Happens to be a very good safer. So anyway, so he sent me an email 2 weeks ago, and having nothing to do with Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, with the following shaila. I think I may have mentioned it to you, but bear with me anyway. Shaila was, there was a guy, Bachar, unmarried guy, who was working in an office, I guess for the summer, let's say. Let's say he was an intern in an office. And in summertime in this office, everyone is out of the office by 7 o'clock. No one's working late, right? No one's working late into the night. 8 o'clock, the guy's eating dinner at his house or in his apartment or whatever, and he realizes, oh my gosh, I left my, let's say, laptop. I don't know what it was, but let's say laptop in the office, and I need it tonight. I need my laptop. So he goes back to the office to pick up his laptop. And when he's in the office, he puts his laptop in his bag, and he says, oh, you know what? I have to go to the bathroom now. So he goes to the bathroom, and he closes the bathroom door, and he doesn't realize the lock of the bathroom door is broken. So he's locked in the bathroom, and the building is empty. His cell phone is in his bag, is in his, with his laptop in his office. So he doesn't have his cell phone. So now what? So he has, so what happened? He's stuck there for several hours until a janitor came in the middle of the night to clean up, because in many of these office buildings, the cleaning crew comes in the middle of the night so that they don't get in the way of the people working there. So he was stuck there for hours. So his shaila was, I mean, he couldn't ask the shaila at the time, obviously, but what he was thinking about was, what do I do? I'm thirsty. I want to take a drink. So am I allowed to take a drink? What's the problem with taking a drink? You got to say bracha before you take a drink. But he's in a bathroom. So can he take a drink? So Rabbi Mendelowitz got back to me after I told him what Rabbi Willick said about that. Rabbi Mendelowitz said that someone came up with a chab. Someone in his kollel came up with a chab. Chab should be as follows. Don't wait till you're thirsty. Take a drink before you're thirsty. And if you take a drink before you're thirsty, when you're not thirsty, you don't have to say a bracha. So you can avoid the whole problem. Just keep drinking before you're thirsty. And don't worry, you drink so much you're going to have to go to the bathroom. You're in a perfect spot, right? So it's, everything's going to be fine. So you don't have to worry about that. Right? So this was, I mean, it's pretty amazing. This was the guy's concerns. Right? When I was saying it over to the last group of counselors, I said, you know, he had two concerns. Number one, no pun intended. You see, come on. It's a little geschmack, that joke, no? All right, anyway. Okay. you know, get it or you just don't think it's funny?
No.
Oh,
wow. I just got it. Okay.
All right. So this is the shaila. In all these situations, does one recite a bracha on the water? As an introduction to this whole section of halacha, there is a sefer called Piskei Tshuvos, where he offers the following basic idea as an introduction, as a model, even though the stuff he's saying is not a davar pashut according to everybody, but it's probably pretty much how we paskin, the following basic guidelines. He says as follows. There are two types of hana'a one gets when one eats. What does that mean, two types of hana'a? What are the two types of hana'a you get when you eat or drink? The flavor and the nourishment, right? Your stomach is full, and you enjoy the flavor of the taste, right? Those are two different. There's hanas me'ayin and hanas grono, or hanas chayich, that you enjoy the food. So says the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, if you have either one, either kind of hanas garon or hanas chayich, either one would be enough to be mechayev abracha. How could you have one without the other? How do you have hanas garon without hanas chayich? I mean, hanas me'ayim without hanas chayich, that your stomach's full, but you have something that has no flavor, has no taste, but it's nourishing you. I don't know, like astronaut food or something, or plain food. I don't know. You have something that has no taste, or a taste that's not particularly pleasant, but it's nourishing you, and you're eating it for the nourishment. So you could have such a thing. How do you have the opposite, that you enjoy the taste, but it's not nourishing you in any way? Gum, okay, might be. You're already full, and you really, it's not helping you at this point. But you really, like, you're so stuffed. Oh, but it's your favorite dessert. But, like, you're so stuffed. Oh, but you're going to pay for this later by eating it. So, like, as far as your ayim is concerned, your stomach is going to start yelling at you. What are you doing to me? You know, but your taste buds really want to enjoy it right now, right? So that might be enough. Either one should require a bracha. Now, with that background, what if you have? Here's what the Gemara says. There's a Mishnah Maseches Brachos. Hashosa mayim litzama. A person drinks water because he's thirsty. Mevarich shakol niyabedvara. He says the bracha shakol niyabedvara. Rabbi Tarfon Omer born in Foshas Rabbos Chasunan. Fine, we'll leave out Rabbi Tarfon for now. He says the bracha shakol niyabedvara. Now the Gemara right away picks up on something. What should it have said? Hashosa mayim mevarich shakol niyabedvara. No, hashosa mayim litzama. You drink because you're thirsty. So the Gemara right away says, yet litzama la fuke mai. As opposed to what? Why else would you be drinking where you wouldn't make a bracha? Meaning, give me the example. What's the case where you drink and you don't say a bracha? The case where you drink a natsay bracha, you're choking. And you just need to get something down, something stuck, so you drink. Let's assume you're not choking so much that you're actually able to say a bracha, but you don't have to because you're not drinking for any purpose other than a practical purpose to stop yourself from choking. So two examples that are mefurash in the Gemara. Drinking water because you're thirsty, you chayv say bracha. Drinking water in order that you don't choke, patur from saying a bracha. What is not in the Gemara is what do you drink for other reasons? To take a pill. Or very relevant, a fast day is coming up. And you need to hydrate yourself in advance of the fast day. So you're not thirsty. But you know that that's what you're supposed to do. By the way, it works best if you hydrate for full 24 hours before. Not just a few moments before. It hydrates your whole system much better. That's what I've read online, at least. Okay. So you hydrate yourself before the fast day. Do you say a bracha for that? I'm not thirsty. They're testing your kidneys. Do you say a bracha for that? Right? All of these situations. I'm all into kidneys this week because my cousin just donated a kidney this week. I was very proud of her. She donated a kidney, and I retweeted it on from Renewal on Twitter, and a guy in my shul tweets back at me, the recipient is my uncle. What a small Jewish world. Unbelievable. Joey Kramer's uncle. For those who know. Okay. Anyway. So, recipient's doing well. Donor's doing well. Baruch Hashem. We're very proud of Iris. Okay. So the, where was I? Yeah. So, do you say, bro? Yeah? Who, the recipient or the donor? Considering that they just had surgery, probably not, and especially this year when it's nidcha. But even if it wasn't this year, the halach is on Tishba V'chola doesn't have to fast. You don't have to be yesh pasakani, you don't have to be dangerously ill to not have to fast. 5 days post-op on a kidney donation, you know, removing an organ from your body, probably you don't have to fast. Probably you should not fast. They did not ask me the Shaila, but I assume whoever they asked the Shaila to told them that. There's a Shaila about pregnant women this Tisha B'Av. I was having a big drawn-out machlokas with someone yesterday about it. He wanted to tell her that, yes, pregnant women can drink once they start not feeling well. I wanted to say that because it's a nidcha, they could drink and eat no matter what, even if they don't have to wait till they're not feeling well. Because you can bet that by the end of Tisha B'Av they will not be feeling well. So they don't have to wait till they get to that point. Okay, anyway. It's important to point out, Shidduch Mevetzos points out already on the Gemara, that this whole halacha of not saying a bracha when you're drinking water, you know, to because of choking or whatever, is only when you're drinking water. But it's not true when you're drinking shar mashkin. Because water you don't enjoy. There's no hana'a from water. It doesn't taste like anything. Now that's a very interesting thing. Is that necessarily true? My wife and I, she can actually do this. If you were to fill little unmarked cups with every type of water you can buy in the store, you know, Aquafina, Poland Spring, I don't know, all the common waters, Deer Park, is that a thing? Yeah, all the common waters. May Aiden and Getty, she'll be able to identify which one is which. It's crazy. I can't even do that with jelly beans. I mean, you know, she can identify which water is which. So, like, is it so partial that water has no flavor? So I always thought, yes, it's partial that water has no flavor. Water is water. Because, like, you know, to me it's all the same. And I'm a halachic Jew, you know? Like in halacha, water is what? There's water and there's everything else. You know, it's like the, did I tell you the story recently with Reb Chaim? They say the story, one of Reb Chaim's kids was eating soup and he said, ah, it's burning. And Reb Chaim slaps him across the face. Klish lishi is not burning. Klish lishi, get me. Like you're a halachic Jew that defines the reality. Okay, so water is water. But is everything that they call water, water? You go to the supermarket, and they have something called vitamin water. It's not vitamin, and it's not water, right? There are no real vitamins in there. Not a you know, a great source of vitamins. And is that water? Would you say you don't say a bracha on that? So it happens to be for different halachos, the way we would define water would be different. I mean, for example, there's a halacha by Bishul Akum, that if a guy cooks up water for you, if he eats up water for you, you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to drink it. It's not a violation of Bishul Akum. Why is it not a violation of Bishul Akum? Because water is nachal kmo shechai. You could have it uncooked, you could have it cooked. So that's not considered a violation. That's not considered a violation of Bishul Akum. What about coffee? Is that a violation of Bishul Akum? A guy brews coffee for you. So what happens when you go to your local Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, or whatever?
Now the big thing is cold brew.
Okay, cold brew. But let's say hot, let's say classic brew. It's a cold winter day. You want a hot coffee.
So you could make it not really, just like...
But when you go to Dunkin' Donuts, they're brewing coffee in the classic way. Right? So do they have a Jew behind the counter brewing the coffee? No, we're all making it. Dunkin' Donuts had an old shayla about Bishul Akum. That was about the eggs. Because they don't have a Jew working behind the counter in most of the Dunkin' Donuts. So what did they, so in the first two kosher Dunkin' Donuts in America, I believe, the first two certified kosher Dunkin' Donuts in America were Elizabeth, New Jersey, and the Five Towns, Lawrence, New York. I think those were the first two. And there was a big machlokas whether you can have the guy make the eggs for you, because the way they make the eggs is in a microwave. So that's a shaila, whether microwaving is called bishul when it comes to Bishul Akum. So I think in the Five Towns, I could be getting it backwards, but I think in the Five Towns they required that the Jew, that the person ordering the eggs should go behind the counter and push the button and on the microwave. And I think in Elizabeth, they were makel that microwaving isn't called cooking. It doesn't have a status of bishul. Nowadays, it's not a shaila anymore because Dunkin' Donuts switched to a different kind of egg. The kind of egg they use now is like Rabbi Eisen explained to me. When you buy, if your little sister has like a toy kitchen set, you know, like the rubber eggs that they have there, so Dunkin' Donuts just gets those extras from the toy manufacturer, and that's what they serve you. So it's not nechel, you know, it's not. Olal Shulchan Malachim, it's not Nechel, Kamoshu, Chai, or Mavushal. It's like, you know, it's something that would, it's not subject to anything. Okay, so nowadays you don't have the issue anymore. How I guess, oh, but the coffee. So what's the kula with coffee? We always are making a Bishul Akum with coffee. So you know what the kula is? The poskim say, coffee is just water with a little coloring. It's really just mayim. So for Bishul Akum, we're willing to consider it just mayim. Would you consider, where else do you consider coffee just mayim? Before davening, right? You're only allowed to drink mayim before davening. Yet, we paskin, you're allowed to drink coffee before davening. Shlomo Zalman holds with sugar and milk, if that's the way you always drink your coffee. Probably not allowed to go to your Starbucks and order your $9 drink, right? Fancy thing with the whipped cream and the drizzle this and the grande, I don't know, whatever. You probably can't do that. Right. It's not kosher anymore. So you're not, although nothing really changed, but don't tell me. So you're probably not allowed to do that. But coffee is water for that halacha. So when it, what about? There's something called Chamar Medina. When you have to say Avdallah and you don't have any wine, I don't know where you live, you don't have access to wine, but whatever. You have to say Avdallah, you don't have access to wine. Or you hold, let's say, for during the 9 days, for Shabbos Chazon, that when you say Avdallah, you're not supposed to do it on wine. There are poskim that hold that way to avoid the whole issue of drinking wine during the 9 days. So you say the Chamar Medina. So what's Chamar Medina? Some sort of chashva drink. Water is not Chamar Medina. Right? What about soda? So many poskim say soda is not Chamar Medina. Why? It's just water with sugar in it. It's just flavored water. Yet when it comes to this halacha, the halacha of brachos, it's clear, again, no pun intended, that only water. Only water. You got that one, okay. That only water. Any soda, coffee, all of that. So now, I did come across one source that suggested that mineral water might be different. Meaning that if you have that different waters taste different, and because different waters taste different, you know, it may always be considered. It may always be considered if you're drinking like a good tasting water, the kind that you like, that you always have to say a bracha on it. So I found in the Sefer Vizos HaBracha, who wrote Vizos HaBracha? Vizos HaBracha is like the go-to Sefer for like Shana Aleph guys in Israel and Shana Bet guys, and every year thereafter I'm still using it for like contemporary Hilchos Brachos Shilas. You know, contemporary Hilchos Brachos, like that's how you learn Hilchos Brachos. He explains the rules so clearly. He explains, you know, he gives practical examples. So Vizos HaBracha. It's written by a Jew who lives in Harnof, and his name is Rav Alexander. I forgot his last name, but it's Rav Alexander something. Anyone know? No? So I forgot his last name. There was a guy at my house a couple of months ago, was looking through my Sfarim, and he saw my Vizos HaBracha. He says, "Oh, that's the one written by Rav Alexander Hamilton." I'm like, "I think you're getting confused. That was someone else." He's like, "Oh yeah." Like it was an innocent mistake. He really thought it. So it's not Alexander Hamilton, nor Graham Bell, or like it's some, what? Nor the Great, right? It's some other of Alexander something. So so in the Sefer Vizos HaBracha, he writes that someone who drinks and is nena man, he gets hanah, he says a bracha, but he says, if you're not thirsty at all, and you're drinking just for refuah, or you're drinking just to swallow a pill, or because you're choking, no bracha. And therefore he says, if you're drinking in order to make sure that you don't dehydrate, he says, laharbos nozlim, to stay well hydrated, beguf, ve'enot samek klal, but you're not really thirsty at all, or hashosem mayim be'erev tainis b'kdei shalu yetzamei achar kach. You drink on erev tainis, you drink a lot of water before a fast, so you won't be thirsty afterwards. Aval keis ein otzamei klal, but right now you're not thirsty at all. Eino mevarech, no bracha. But he says, if you're a little thirsty, plus you're drinking for refuah, then yes bracha. Right? Who disagrees? So I came across Rav Asher Weiss in Chelek Beis Siman Yud Zayin of Minchas Osh, Tshuvas Minchas Osh, writes that a lot of people will drink water at you know, particular intervals throughout the day because it helps with digestion. And he writes, Avala shosa mishum tzorchei gufo. If you're drinking because it is good for your body, not that it's to do a medical test, not because you have something you're choking on that you're practically trying to remove, but it's healthy for you to drink, that's called the tzama. And it's a very compelling svara. He says, Dagdaras hatzama einet chusha satzimaon bilvad. When the Gemara says if you drink from thirst, it doesn't mean that you feel thirsty. Ela etzem choser hamayim shalaguf. It means you need water. What does that mean? Your body needs hydration. Remember what we started with. There's a difference between hanas me'ayim and hanas grono and chayich. The grono and chayich is the flavor. Okay, that you're not getting with the water. What's the hanas me'ayim of water? It's not that you're filling your stomach up with water. It's that your body needs hydration. He says that's what tzame means. He says, the pasuk says, "Laham is osiv es banay ves miknay bitzame." Upasha chein la adam meisali de hargasha satzimaon. When he says that a person dies of tzame of thirst, it doesn't mean that he dies from feeling thirsty. What does it mean? Dehydration. So as long as you're drinking to hydrate, he says very compellingly, you should have to make a bracha. And he says, "V'nira od la'alacha, da'af lu yeza safek." And even if you're not sure, yesh levarich shakol. Lav dafka l'tzama la'af b'stama kol shachayich nana mimenu, m'stama hu tzamek tzas, dimlo yitzama l'yachayich nana mimenu. He says, besides that, you probably wouldn't be drinking if you weren't somewhat thirsty. Like if you were to the point where you're getting zero anah from it because you're so, you've drunk too much, you probably wouldn't be drinking more. And then he said, okay, but then there's a second issue. If you're drinking all day, what other issue do you have to deal with? Not only whether you should say a bracha, but let's say you're saying a bracha b'zoldak Rav Asher, how often do you say a new bracha? You start drinking in the morning and you keep drinking every half hour till you go to sleep. So like, how often do you say a new bracha? So he says, I already explained, b'makam acher, te'in din shinu makam b'hol chidrachim, b'kol shabirich b'yotze l'darach. Let's say you're going, you're traveling in a car. You go through to the drive-thru, you pick up something, a coffee to take to go. So the halacha is normally shinu makam requires a new bracha. So every block that you drive, you should have to say a new bracha. He says, no, it's davar pashut. Your makam is as you're traveling. And that's all your makam. V'kimin shemakpidim lishlos meisei suchol mlismachol berchas marishona. So says Rav Asher, your first drink, if you're makpid, that I need to drink every hour, and it's not just when you happen to be thirsty, you say brach on the first drink, and that's it. Now, once we're on the topic, which is the last 3 minutes, of hana'as garon and hana'as me'av, this comes up in two other areas of halacha. The Gemara says, Maseches Chulin. Let's say a person eats a kezayis of nevela, treifa, something awesome. I eat a kezayis, what's the halacha? Malkus. Right? You violated the Yisr with the shir, you get malkus. Says the Gemara, let's say you ate an exact kezayis. You measure out a kezayis exactly, and you eat it. Do you get malkus? What's the svar not? Of course, why not? How much of it ends up in your stomach? 99%. And what's the other 1%? Between your teeth. That's why you got a brush. Right? Does that count as eating a kezayis? Meaning, what's the Gemara really? What's the shail of the Gemara's bavorning, as they say in yeshivas? Is it hana'as me'ayim or is it hana'as chay? Grown up. If it's hana'as me'ayim, a kezayis didn't go into me'ayim. But if it's hana'as grown up, so you had a kezayis. So there's a machlokas amorayim. If the mechayev, so that's this machlokas, is the mechayev. Hanas Kroner, Hanas Me'ayim. Do we count what's between the teeth? Rambam Paskins, La Halacha, Chutz Mishal Ben Hashinayim. Whatever's in between your teeth doesn't count. So Minchas Chinuch says, Minchas Chinuch writes that maybe the same thing would be true. Sorry, the Rambam says explicitly. Let's leave out all the marmakamas for now. What about by mitzvahs? Would the same thing apply by mitzvahs? Right? You eat a kezayis of matzah. So matzah, like, there's plenty that ends up between your teeth. So do you have to take that into the cheshbon of how you measure out a kezayis of matzah? Right? L'chora, it should be the two things should be totally in each other. Or where else does the shir matter? Isser, mitzvah, where else does it matter? The addition. In Yom Kippur, that would be Isser. That would be, yeah, but about eating in particular. Birchas Hamazon. Zajid Kazayis Birchtech is Pras. Right? So Birchas Hamazon, Magen Avraham writes the name of the Kras Sagadova. And even more than Kazayich is Pras from his side, Prim Gam says it's only if you had a Kazayis, you had an exact Kazayis. Because via Chalta, as long as you ate a Kazayis, Achila. Even though the stuff between your teeth is going down later after Kedechus Pras. So is this completely dependent on that same Sugyan Chulin? Okay, so there's what to talk about. You have to buy the Sefer. Right, you know, that's why your Me'ayim didn't get a Kedechus Pras, but your Goren, your Chayach did. Your point of the whole thing is that. Ah, so the Mechayiv is Svi, good. Now, the Midarais and the Mechayev is Sviya. Midaraban and the Mechayev is Kazayas. So is a Kazayas, is it Achilas Kazayas or a Kazayas that could lead to Sviya? Right? Very good. Okay, we'll stop there. Have a great day, everybody.